Well, the times come that we might hear our brother. I know it's been some time since we've last heard from our brother as he was able to stand before the pulpit here. I trust that you've come prepared to hear the word that he would have to give to us this night, our brother Brian McIndoo.
Thank you, Gordon. Rest assured that even though you may have been a while since you've heard me, I have preached since you heard me last. And this is kind of a test for me today, because the sermon I plan to give tonight, I thought about it and planned to give it this week, and it was the last sermon I gave when I was in Africa. And when I'm preaching in Africa, of course, I have a translator standing there next to me, and everything that's said is said twice. So in theory, if I give this same sermon, it should be half as long. But don't hold your breath on that, because I have a different audience. I have to be careful about things that I say that I pull back some because they won't understand some concepts. I have to be careful of the words I use because Moses may not be able to translate them. So I might get twice as wordy. And today, because I have you in front of me, so it's a test. I don't know if it's going to be very short or a very long sermon, but I marvel to think about how close the scriptures I have are to the scriptures that Andy used this morning. I think the Lord has told me to give this sermon today, and I will begin in Isaiah chapter 41. And I'm going to read verses 17 through 20. It says, "When the poor and the needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in the high places and the fountains in the midst of the valley. And I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness a cedar and the shita tree and the myrtle and the oil tree. And I will set in the desert a fir tree and the pine and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel has created it." I find this fascinating. When God here spoke through the prophet, he says, you know, when people that are needy, when they thirst, and they're ready to fail from their thirst, that the Lord will hear them. Now, first off, you know, if the Lord's going to hear you, you have to set your plea before him. He says, if you do that, he will hear. And he will not forsake his people. He was speaking to Israel there. And then it goes on the next few verses, and he says that he's going to open rivers of water in high places. You know, and if you've been to places like Honduras or Kisii or Arizona, you know the water doesn't run on top of the mountains. It runs down in the valleys. And he says, I'm going to put it up on the high places. I'm going to plant a wilderness of cedar and myrtle and oil trees. I'm going to plant them in the barren deserts. And I will feed them with water. And I'm going to do these things. I'm going to put water where water's not supposed to be when you're thirsting, so you know that I am God. And you know that I can care for your needs if you bother to ask. It's a miracle. He knows the needs of his people. He knows how to provide for them. You know, when I was in Kisii this time, when we were there last time, the people there, they were complaining, our church members, they were complaining about the drought that was in Kenya. And their crops were failing. They had no rain. And they were hungry because they didn't have the food to bring in. And they put up their petition before the Lord, and the church gave them some help. They gave them some aid and provided for some food until the time, just the time period, when the next crop would come in. But that next crop would come in only if the rains came. There was no rain, there would be no crop. And as I was there this time, their crop was in, They were harvesting it. But when I read the papers or I listen to the news or see anything talking about Kenya, all the news talked about the great disaster that Kenya was in because of the great famine, the great drought that was there, and the starvation of millions of people in Kenya. All through Kenya, they are without water, except for in Kisii, where our people are. The Lord has heard the cries. He's answered their prayers. He put water in the high places. He watered their crops. He brought forth the food. He knows how to care for his people. And I told the Kisii's, I said, the only reason you have food is because of your belief and your faith in God. Because he loves you. And the rest of Kenya still suffers because they haven't accepted the truth of the gospel. And it's a witness. And it says, just like in verse 20, that they might see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of God has done this. You know, Kenya is a rainforest. If all of a sudden it started raining in Kenya, nobody would say that was the hand of God. They'd say, well, of course it did. It's a rainforest. But it only rained in the spot where our churches are. That's it. It's the hand of God because they put up their petition. God knows how to provide for the needs of his people. And he can do the impossible for man. But what is man's biggest need? You know, we're thirsty, we're hungry. You know, sometimes we think that's an awfully big need, especially when you're thirsty and you're hungry. But what is our biggest need? Our biggest need of man is to be able to come back into the presence of God. I'm going to turn to 2 Nephi chapter 6. Now I'm going to read verses 41 through 44. Oh, the greatness and the justice of our God, for he executeth all of his words, and they have gone forth out of his mouth, and his law must be fulfilled. But behold, the righteous, the saints of the Holy One of Israel, they which have believed in the Holy One of Israel, they which have endured the crosses of the world and despised the shame of it, they shall inherit the kingdom of God, which was prepared for them from the foundation of the world, and their joy shall be full forever. Oh, the greatness of the mercy of our God, the Holy One of Israel, for he delivereth his saints from that awful monster of the devil and death and hell and the lake of fire and brimstone and from endless torment. Oh, how great the holiness of our God, for he knoweth all things, and there is not anything save he knoweth it. He knoweth all things. God has prepared a way for us to come back to him. And what is man's other greatest need? It is to defeat death. Death, that is our enemy. That is our enemy. But he says, I know their need, and I prepared a way to deliver them from that awful monster of death and the grave and the devil and the lake of fire. He knows how to deliver us. He knows how to bring us back into his presence. I'm going to turn to Mosiah chapter 8. We're going to read verses 13 and 14. Have they not said that God himself should come down among the children of men and take upon him the form of a man and go forth in the mighty power upon the face of the earth? Yea, and have they not said also that he should bring to pass the resurrection of the dead and that he himself should be opposed and afflicted? Yes, God has known our need. And it's no less of a miracle. It's more than a miracle. Bringing rain to Kisii in a rainforest is a miracle when the rest of the place is dry. providing for water for those that thirst in the high places and planting trees in the desert is a miracle. But God says, I will do even a greater miracle for you. That which you need the absolute most is to raise you out of your death, to bring you back into my presence. There is no greater miracle than that, that he can perform. And so we have to realize that he knows that need of his people. We have a good promise that we see and we read about 2 Nephi chapter 11, verse 112 through 115. And I find it very interesting. However, and of course if I went to Nephi instead of Mosiah, it would help. However, most people stop here, and I'm not going to stop here. We're going to look at this, but then we're going to continue on. 2 Nephi chapter 11, 112 through 115. And he doth nothing save it be plain unto the children of men. And he inviteth them all to come unto him and to partake of his goodness. Boy, wouldn't the churches and the pastors of most of the churches love to just say, there it is. Yeah, we can believe that reference. He inviteth all to come and partake. So you're all saved. You all have salvation. God wants us all to be joyful in everlasting life in heaven with him. But, you know, that's not where my Book of Mormon ends. That's not where my Bible ends. That's not where the Scripture ends. That's not where God stopped his comments. Verse 114, and he denieth none that they should come unto him, black and white, bond and free, male and female. We're all open. There's an invitation set for all of us. It doesn't matter if we're black or white, bond or free, male or female. The invitation's there. He hasn't denied anybody. And he remembereth the heathen, and all are alike unto him, both Jew and Gentile. All people are invited to partake of his goodness. That's why Jay travels down to South America, to Mexico, Honduras. That's why people travel to the Philippines. That's why we go to Africa. It doesn't matter the color of the skin. It doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter how much money you make. All are invited. It's an invitation from the Lord. The thing is, and we have to remember, and most people don't remember and realize that you can't confuse an invitation with salvation. You can't confuse an invitation with partaking. I can invite you all to a barbecue, but if you don't show up to the barbecue, you're not going to get satisfied. You have to do your part. You have to come unto that invitation. You have to accept that invitation. And so the invitation is there. But the scriptures tell us, and they make it quite clear, that there are things that we must do to accept the invitation. We have to respond. You know, you might send an invitation out and you say, RSVP, and I don't have a clue what that means. Other than, I don't even know if you're supposed to respond if you're not coming or not. But somehow you have to respond to it, you know. The same is true with the Lord. He's inviting us. But there's a response that you have to make if you're going to come. So let's turn to 2 Nephi chapter 6. Let's read verses 81 through 85. Oh, my beloved brethren, remember my words. Behold, I take off my garments and I shake them before you. I pray the God of my salvation that he view me with his all-searching eyes. Wherefore, ye shall know at the last day, when all men shall be judged of their works, that the God of Israel did witness that I shook your iniquities from my soul, and that I should stand with brightness before him, and I am rid of your blood. O my beloved brethren, turn away from your sins and shake off the chains of him that binds you fast. You know, we as a people, we as a fallen people, have to shake off the chains that hold us away from that invitation, that hold us away from the Lord. Now I'm going to back up and digress and actually read the verses I said I was going to read. I like those. Those are cool, but let's read verses 81 through 85 like I said. Behold, the way for man is narrow, but it lieth in a straight course before him, and the keeper of the gate is the Holy One of Israel, and he employeth no servant there. And there is none other way to save it be by the gate, for he cannot be deceived, for the Lord God is his name. And whosoever knocketh, to him will he open. And the wise and the learned and they that are rich, and which are puffed up because of their learning and their wisdom and their riches, they are they whom he despises. And save they shall cast these things away and consider themselves fools before God and come down into the depths of humility, he will not open unto them. But the things of the wise and the prudent shall be hid from them forever, that happiness which is prepared for the saints. Happiness is for the saints. What did this change that we're going to bind us down and keep us from receiving? It tells us right here, those that are wise, those that are learned, those that are rich, those that are puffed up because how rich they are, how much wisdom they have, or how much learning they have, or how many riches they have, those are the chains. Those are the things that the people of the world think they need to have to be successful in this life. But here the scripture says, God despises them. Why? Because they chain them to the world. They chain them away from coming in. But he says, happiness is prepared for one type of people, the saints. And I know we as a people sometimes, you know, we don't want to walk around telling people, hey, yeah, we're a saint. You know, I'm a saint. You know, it'd sound kind of boastful and proud, wouldn't it? But in God's eyes, those that follow him and keep his commandments and do these things are saints. If we want to have eternal life, we must become a saint. Because the saints, the humble followers and the saints are those who will receive this special blessing of God, of eternal life. The proud, they're not going to receive. So how do we become a saint? What's required of us? You know, what do we have to do? Because that's all that's going to receive the salvation is those that become a saint. And a real good scripture that quickly tells us is in Mosiah chapter 1. Verses 119 through 120, it's a scripture that we read all the time. My book is almost worn out on this page. It's got stains on it. It's got writing all over it. Because I use it. Every minister in this church uses it constantly. I believe Andy referred to it this morning. The natural man is an enemy to God and has been from the fall of Adam and will be forever and ever. But if he yieldeth, there is the first part that we need to realize if we're going to become a saint. We have to yield ourselves, which means we have to put ourselves back and let something else come first. And it says, yielding to the enticing of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's not going to take us in the wrong path. It's only going to take us in the right path. So we have to say, I will listen to the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to listen to myself. I'm not going to believe what I'm thinking is right. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit guide me. If he yieldeth to the enticing of the Holy Spirit and putteth off the natural man, those things that are natural to us, those things that our desires, those things that we want to do, they're contrary to God, will not make us a saint. And it says, becometh a saint through the atonement of Christ the Lord, and becometh as a child. You know, my daughter this morning, we were sitting there eating, and her son was there screaming, and she says, I have no idea why the Bible and Book of Mormon keep telling us we have to come like children. You know, they seem to be awfully rude, crude, nasty, and selfish, you know. And I said, well, yeah, but it's not that part of them we're supposed to be like. It's this part. It says, like a child, submissive. You know, You grab them by, they're going to go with you regardless. You know, they're going to be submissive one way or the other. And when you drag them to the car, when they want to go on the slide, they're still going to love you. They're still going to put their arms around you, and they're still going to love you. They're not going to rebel. You know, when he turns 13, you'll understand, not submissive. That's when the change will come. Submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child does submit to his father. You know, these are the same qualities as charity. The same things that Jesus Christ had. And it says, you know, if we have not charity, we have nothing. That's how we become a saint, to have this love of Jesus Christ in us, to be willing to submit our lives over to the Lord to do that which is right, to do that which is best for us. That's how we become a saint. You know, first it told us a natural man is an enemy to God. In thinking about that, I want to read in Alma 1975. It says, and now, my son, all men that are in a state of nature, or I would say in a carnal state, are in the gall of bitterness and in the bonds of iniquity. They are without God in the world, and they have gone contrary to the nature of God. Therefore, they are in the state contrary to the nature of happiness. The state of nature. We have to change the natural way that we act, the natural idea that we have for this life. And our natural idea is to put ourselves first. To put ourselves first, to be selfish. That is why it's contrary to God. Because God throughout the scriptures tells us that we have to put others first. We have to prefer our brother. We have to serve our brother to serve God. All of this is the opposite of the nature of man. And so it says here, in this one, it says, we are in the bonds of iniquity. We are contrary to God if that is our nature. I want to turn to Moroni 7:10. It says, wherefore all things which are good cometh of God, and that which is evil cometh of the devil. For the devil is an enemy unto God, and fighteth against him continually, and inviteth and enticeth to sin, and to do that which is evil continually. You know, we know that Satan is the prince of this world. He is going to continually invite us and entice us to do that which is evil, contrary to God. He's a prince of this world. We're people of this world. It's going to seem pleasing to us. It's going to seem good to us. It's going to be a desire that we want. And that's why we have to go against that nature, to follow those enticings, to follow that pull and temptation of the devil, because it's contrary to God. And the natural man and following after Satan, that is contrary to God. But to become a saint, we have to yield to Christ. We have to humble ourselves. We have to become a saint. We have to do that which is right before God. Let's continue there in Moroni chapter 7. We'll read verse 11. But behold, that which is of God inviteth, enticeth to do good continually. Wherefore, everything which inviteth and enticeth, boy, you know, it just really tries to get me here. They have to put all these THs, one word after another, inviteth and enticeth to do good and to love God and to serve him is inspired of God. We can follow after the Lord. If you are looking to do good continually, and it's to do good for others, that is what is inspired of God. That is what makes us a saint. That's what brings us, humble ourselves, to put ourselves down and raise others up, and to serve the Lord by serving our brothers and sisters. I want to turn to Alma, chapter 5. I realize that I'm using an incredible amount of scriptures, but I want to make my case here for what I'm saying. Alma chapter 5. Now I'm going to begin in verse 34 through 37, but I want you to focus on 38 through 41. It says, "Yea, I perceive that you are making his path straight. I perceive that it hath been made known unto you by the testimony of his word that he cannot walk in crooked paths. Neither doth he vary from that which he hath said. Neither doth he a shadow of turning from the right or to the left, from that which is right to that which is wrong. Therefore his course is one eternal round." He's speaking of the Lord. This Lord cannot walk in a crooked path. He cannot change. A very simple concept we've heard many, many times. "And he does not dwell in unholy temples. Neither can filthiness nor anything which is unclean be received into the kingdom of God. Therefore I say unto you, the time shall come, yea, it shall be at the last day." The last day. Something's going to happen at the last day. It says, "At the last day, he which is filthy shall remain in his filthiness." You know, we're just read. Filthiness cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. So the invitation is there for all people. But if you're filthy, you cannot come. The invitation is withdrawn at that last day. That when you have that time, this day of probation, which you're here in this life, that invitation stands. "Come unto me. Become a saint." But when you lay down this life, you're in the last day. Invitation's withdrawn if you're full of filthiness. It's not there any longer. I want you to focus on the next verse, verse 38. "And now, my beloved brethren, I have said these things unto you that I might awaken you to the sense of your duty to God, that you may walk blameless before him, that you may not walk after the holy order, that you may walk after the holy order of God, and after which ye have been received. And I would that you should be humble and be submissive and gentle, easy to be entreated, full of patience and long suffering, being temperate in all things, being diligent in keeping the commandments of God at all times, asking for whatever things you stand in need of, both spiritual and temporal, always returning thanks to God for whatsoever things you do receive, and see that you do have faith, hope, and charity, and then you will always abound in good works." This is how we choose to become a saint. It's not easy, but obviously it's possible, or the Lord would not ask us to do it. To be humble, submissive, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of patience, long-suffering, temperate in all things, keeping the commandments of God. He even tells us to ask for the things which we need. When we need rain for our crops, we need a job, ask for it. We need spiritual things, ask for it. Just like he promised here in Isaiah, he knows how to give those things to us, physically and spiritually. But he says, when you receive them, return thanks to him for granting them unto you, and have faith, hope, and charity. That's what it requires to be a saint. But you know, we walk through this life and we are free to choose our path. The path that we're going to walk, the path that we will take in this life, in 2 Nephi chapter 1, it says, you know, all men are free to choose. All men are free to act for themselves, to choose the course they will take in this life. It's a gift that God has given us, and he is not going to take it away from us. You're going to have to choose. You're going to have to decide, which path do I want to walk? Do I want to walk in the ways of the world, or do I want to walk as a saint? Because as a saint, God will provide you with this great gift, this great miracle of eternal life. But we have to choose. I want to turn to Alma chapter 9. verse 54 and through 56. But God did call on men in the name of his Son, this being the plan of redemption which was laid, saying, if you will repent and harden not your hearts, then will I have mercy upon you through my only begotten Son. Therefore, whosoever repenteth and hardeneth not his heart, he shall have claim on mercy through mine only begotten Son unto the remission of sins, and these shall enter into my rest. And whosoever will harden his heart and will do iniquity, behold, I swear in my wrath that he shall not enter into my rest. Did my battery just go out? No, it's still working. It is clear from this scripture that we have to become humble. It is clear that only those that choose to walk in that path, humble themselves before God, keep his commandments, have answered the invitation that, yes, I would want to come. I want to partake of your goodness. I want to partake of salvation. I want to partake of eternal life and return into your presence. Those that harden their hearts are ignoring the invitation. They're not saying I'm coming. They're telling them by non-voice, I want no part of this great blessing which you have to answer. I want to turn to Mosiah chapter 1. We're going to continue where we left off in chapter 1. I'm going to read verse 121 and 122. And moreover, I say unto you, that the time shall come when the knowledge of the Savior shall be spread throughout every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And behold, when that time cometh, none shall be found blameless before God, except it be little children, only through repentance and faith in the name of the Lord God Omnipotent. The day is going to come, and you know, and I believe that day is here. And I don't say it's here just because the Church of Christ is going throughout the world at this time. I think the gospel, you know, when I got to Kenya, I didn't have to go. Even when I go into the interior of Maasai land, people are showing up with their spears and their knives and their Maasai robes, little leather bags of I don't know what hanging on them, poison arrows, all kinds of stuff. You know, I ask myself, I'm going to talk to them about the gospel. Do they even know about Jesus Christ? Yeah, they've heard of him. They know about it. You know, you go back into history, you know, the British did a great job of at least getting the Bible there and starting the groundwork. You know, the people of the world have heard about it. They had that opportunity to understand, to know. And now with the opportunities going out there to know the fullness of the gospel and to know the perfect way to salvation. But the day has come when the gospel is out there. And I believe that the day is here that only the little children can stand blameless before God. People can choose. When those that have opened themselves to the Lord and said, Lord, show me the right way. Show me the church I should join. I think that's where we're getting the calls. Come to Kenya. Come to Philippines. Come to Honduras. Come to, where else have we been? Wherever else we've been. India. You know, those are the places when they people have prepared their hearts to receive. The Lord is bringing us there to them to share the gospel with them. But those that have hardened their hearts and they say, I don't want to know these things, they're not going to stand blameless. I'm going to... When we read in our scriptures, it talks about, especially in the Book of Mormon, it talks about the Jews and the Gentiles. We read in the Book of Mormon about the house of Israel, the Nephites and the Gentiles, you know, is talking about those Gentiles. They're talking about us. It's talking about us, the people of today, the people that live in North America, the white man that came over. When you're reading the Bible about the Jews and the Gentiles, it was talking about the Romans. the enemies of the Jews that destroyed Jerusalem. But the day has come. We live in this day now where there's not this separation of Jew and Gentile. We're in this day when all people will have to make a decision. Even as it said here, that no one will stand blameless. The heathen was, in that day of the Bible, it was those that did not know God. They were non-Jews because they didn't know the true and living God. But that's not the case today. We as the people of America, we as non-Jews, we know, we understand, we have the gospel. We have the record of the Jews. We have the plan of salvation in the Bible in almost any language you can ever want to know. And so it's there. It's available. And so the people of this world, including us, have to decide what path we will take. Are we going to become saints, or are we going to walk in the ways of the world? But we need to realize that God knows how to give us what we need. If you lack in a place, if you lack in an area that does not allow you to be a saint, you can ask God, and He will bring it to you. He will suffer. He will not allow you to walk in the ways of error, but He will raise you up. Just like when they thirst, He will bring them water. God has planted truth in this world. He's planted living water where it was not natural. You know, we read in the Bible, we see the Romans and we see the Jews in Jerusalem, in Europe. Okay, that was natural. In the Book of Mormon, we see those, the white man, and we see the Nephites. Okay? Africa is not natural. It's not mentioned in any of these. India is not natural. It's not mentioned in any of these. But God says, I will put trees on the mountains. I will put trees in the desert. I will send the living water throughout this world, every dark place, every dark corner in this world. I will send my Spirit, and I will feed them with the living water. And that's what He's doing today. And that's why we're in India, and that's why we're in Kenya and throughout Congo and places that are not natural. They're not part of the gospel stories that we read. But God has sent His word there. He has provided the way for them to grow up and understand and hear the truth of the gospel. I'm going to turn back to Isaiah, my closing scripture. Isaiah chapter 40, the same prophet speaking to the same people. A little bit before what I read in the beginning, I'm going to begin in verse 28. He says, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is he weary? There is no searching of his understanding." This is the language of the prophets. He's reproving the people for their complaining about being forsaken. That God has forgotten them, that God has left them. You know, Andy this morning talked about how God parted the Red Sea for them, and they got right on the other side of the Red Sea and free from the Egyptians, and they started complaining. You know, not only did He part the Red Sea, He provided manna, He provided quail, He delivered them to a promised land, He made their seed multiply, He brought them back to their homelands in the 1948, 1967, He made them a strong nation once again, defeated their enemies in an impossible war. And He's reproving them for that. He says, you know, have you not known? Have you not heard? There's no searching His understanding. He can accomplish anything. The prophet reminds them, God is the creator. And He faints not. He's always there. He's never going to leave any one of us alone. He's willing to deliver us from any affliction, any trial, any problem we have in this life or in this death. He's going to raise us up. Let's continue verse 29. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings of eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. God is there for us. He can make us strong. He can care for our needs. He knows each and every need that we have. He knows that if we do not harden our heart and we desire to come unto Him, when He knocks on that door and we want Him to open to us, He can help us do it. He can help us to become that saint. He is there. He will never forsake us. He will never leave us. He'll listen to our needs. He will answer our prayers. He will deliver us out of our temptations. He will make us strong. Even as it says here, you know, those that are young, you know, those that are young, they're going to eventually wear out. You know, you watch a little kid. I remember we were going to a baptism this time. And we had to walk down to the valley to the water, and it was a good 2 or 3 kilometers. And, of course, when you walk down, you have to walk back up this mountain. So here's all adults dragging ourselves up this mountain, these little kids that are running, you know, they're running little, I mean, we're talking little tiny kids, 2-year-olds, and they're just running by us and chasing each other around to keep running. But eventually they too wore out. By the time they got to the top of the hill, they were tired. But he says, you know, I will keep you from being tired. I will make you strong in the things of God. I will give you that strength that you need to go through this life and to do that which is required of you to have eternal life. And so the purpose of my sermon is really for us to remember always that God is always there, that He knows how to care for all of our needs, the physical needs, but more especially, He has already set in place the plan for our greatest need, to return unto Him and to have eternal life. He knows how to bring us there. He sent out the invitation, but not all are going to come. Only those that will answer the invitation say, Lord, I will humble myself, and I will follow the Holy Spirit. I will walk in the path that you will have me to walk. And if we do that, we are guaranteed to be partakers of that in that last day. May God bless you each in that endeavor. Thank you.